intimate poems. But whoever or whatever had been in his thoughts, these musings would now cease, and his thoughts would turn towards the war.
Tomorrow, Edward leaves for the front in the final episode of Now All Roads Lead to France by Matthew Hollis. The reader was Tobias Menzies. It was abridged by Richard Hamilton and produced by Emma Harding.
Are you sitting comfortably? Well, then we'll begin.
BBC Radio Young Writers, 25 years on.
Shh, now don't tell anyone I've given you special treatment. What a stupid thing to say. Don't tell anyone.
The world was full of beautiful things. Beautiful things surrounding sight and vision.
A look back at the first plays from writers who went on to make their mark in theatre, film and television, and catching up with where they are now.
A powerful play can cause ripples and it can be life-changing and life-saving.
Beginning with Benjamin Zephaniah's Hurricane Dub, Saturday afternoon at 1:15 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 3 o'clock and time for drama. Find out what happens when an American tycoon buys an exclusive hotel on a whim and gets more than he bargained for in a moment. Later, a racy comedy by Gary Brown, which takes a sideways look at the creation of Eric Gill's sculpture of Prospero and Ariel here at Broadcasting House in London. Prospero, Ariel, Wreath and Gill is our play this evening at 9:15. So first here on 4 Extra, one of Arnold Bennett's earliest works. The award-winning writer Chris Harold has written a colourful two-part adaptation of Bennett's society murder mystery, The Grand Babylon Hotel. This is part one.
Here they come. Every morning, same time.
Every morning, same time, like everything else.
Sir, for you, from the purser's office.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ha! Morgan's up 2 points. That will not last. You take note, Nella.
Papa, what do you expect to have telegrams from your office delivered to you when you were in heaven?
Item, Mr. E.H. Harriman. Now, what's he up to?
Papa!
Contain yourself. You sound like your mother.
Mr. E.H. Harriman, Papa, is doing what Mr. E.H. Harriman always does. Laying down even more railroad to rival the lengths of railroad laid down by Mr. Theodore Wraxall, would be my guess. Taking advantage of you while you're in the middle of the Atlantic. Put down your telegrams. Breathe in the ozone. We're on holiday.
Holiday, yes. I knew something was making me restless. What are you reading?
I thought it would be a romance, but it turned out otherwise.
Tell me.
I was expecting a... mysterious strangers, feuds lasting centuries, love that crosses all boundaries. But the most exciting event so far is the introduction of the Tuppenny Tube.
The author?
A gentleman called Fritz Baedeker.
Let me look. Baedeker's Great Britain. You tease me, Nella. Though the Tuppenny Tube. How I wish I'd thought of that. If Great Britain isn't exciting enough... Would you like to hop across to Paris when we disembark?
Not Paris.
I thought you liked Paris.
No, not Paris.
Whatever you choose, then, I'll give you whatever you choose.
Oh, Father.
The trouble is, sometimes you give me every choice in the world.
I don't want another choice.
No choosing, then. Let fate choose. Close your eyes, Nella. Put your Baedeker on its spine. Let it fall open where it will. A map with a river. With a great loop in it. Now, keep your eyes closed. Let your right hand drop towards the pages. Index finger out. Slowly. Down it comes. Piccadilly. The Strand. Well, well.
Mind your backs, please, ladies and gents. The luggage coming through. This way, sir, madam.
Wake up, Nella. Wake up, my dear.
We're here. The Grand Babylon Hotel.
It doesn't look so much.
Ah, you're right, of course. Nowhere could be more
unassuming. Not a word that even explains it's a hotel. And a hotel so discreet that you never ask for a tariff. And money is never discussed.
Is it expensive?
It is expensive, in the way the Atlantic Ocean is deep.
Is it exclusive?
See that side street running along the north side of the hotel?
Yes.
You see that black door? That's the east entrance for royalty. Only for royalty. It is in use every day.
I like that. Royalty. Like us.
In our own country, my dear, perhaps. Over here, we will use the plain mahogany doors. Nella, what is it?
Surely I know that man. Perhaps I was mistaken.
Make an entrance with me, if you please, Nella.
Is that Fragonard on the wall? Okay, now I'm impressed.
And that statue...
A dignified pace, my dear, and try to avoid okay. You're impressed, fine. But the thing about the Brits, don't let them see it.
The woman... in the black silk, in the glass booth? Is she part of the staff? She looks more like aristocracy. She's wearing diamonds!
She'll be the head of the bureau. She decides which room you get, fixes problems, arranges travel. If you make a telephone call, make a theater, or a travel booking, everything, anything, it all goes through the bureau.
All those bells!
The nerve system of the hotel.
Such huge ledgers!
Duh! Bookkeeping is bookkeeping. You could learn all that in no time.
You surely underestimate her.
You surely underestimate yourself. The swift absorption of a new situation, a new business, a Raxall family trait.
Sir, Mr. Raxall, madam, Miss Ferguson, the telephone. Perkins has your luggage, sir. That is all the luggage, is it? Your booking, as I remember, sent ahead from the SS Charlesburg on the 14th.
Two suites I asked for.
You did, Mr. Raxall. They're arranged and await you. On the topmost floor, the best appointed suites we have. I am Miss Spencer. If there is anything I can do to make your stay more pleasant...
I have a problem about heights.
Sir, I'm sorry?
Too many of them in New York. Forget the top floor. I was thinking more on the lines of the first floor. Same level as the treetops.
Oh, I think the suites there are all booked.
Really? Excuse me.
You can't. I'm quite certain.
In your reservation book, I can't help noticing, suites 111 and 113, they are both marked free. You missed them. Place like this to run, who's to blame you? Don't know how you manage. And those, then, are the suites where we will stay. You hear that, Perkins? Upstairs with the luggage, if you please.
Mr. Raxall.
You've made me very happy, ma'am. The Grand Babylon Hotel is everything I had expected.
She didn't seem that overpoweringly competent, Miss Spencer, not knowing about the suites on the first floor.
Oh, she knew, all right. You could see it in her face. She just didn't want us to have them.
But why?
Oh, some petty hotel politics, no doubt. But I bested her.
Is that a Raxall family trait, too?
It is a trait of the human race, Nella. Let us dress for dinner.
Madam, it's Jules to see you.
Jules? A word with you, Miss Spencer.
Miss Ferguson, take over the bureau, please.
I was in the first floor corridor. I thought I saw a man of certain plutocratic type, show a young woman into suite 111. But since suite 111 is almost never free, as you and I both know with very good reason, I suppose my eyes must have deceived me. Please tell me so.
I couldn't help it. Don't look at me like that. The Raxalls, they were... he was so forceful. Americans.
And you? Are you not... forceful.
I have a face to maintain. I act under restraints. Step over here. Just for 1 second. 1 second, Jules. Out of sight of the lobby. Yes. Put your hands on me. There. Ah, yes.
You are always drawn to the dangerous edge of things, Miss Spencer. Now, tonight, you know what you have to do.
Miss Spencer?
Come.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Thank you, Miss Spencer.
There's been a confusion in the luggage dispatch room. Mr. Brown swears blind.
It's a habit Mr. Brown would do well to cure. If I had my way, I'd dispatch Mr. Brown.
Thank you. Oh, good Lord. The menu card. I thought for a moment it was an invitation to a society wedding. Nella, you're not back home now. The Thames by twilight. Beautiful. Well, pretty. It ain't the Hudson by a long way.
I'm sorry, I'm late.
You're always late.
Late, always, only on holiday. So what is there to eat? I'm hungry. Being idle makes me hungry.
Here goes. Consommé Britannia.
Mm-hmm.
Semaine de Cose.
Yes.
Sauce chinoise.
Mm-hmm.
Aspix de Hamad. How is my French?
You uphold the Raxel family standard.
But these things, they sound like horrid messes.
Now, I'll let you into a secret about European cooking. It looks a heck of a lot better after a drink. Excuse me.
Sir?
I must ask you for an angel kiss.
Sir?
I mean, of course, the drink. Yes? Two angel kisses?
Two angel kisses. The drink.
Who was that?
The maitre d', Jules.
He doesn't sound French at all.
In the better class of hotels, all maitre d' are called Jules. That's England.
The way he looked at us.
Down his nose?
Father, you haven't forgotten, have you?
Forgotten?
It's my birthday tomorrow.
Forgetting your birthday, my dear, would be like forgetting the end-of-year address to the shareholders. A marginally less draining event, come to think of it. Have I ever forgotten your birthday, O most costly of daughters?
You have been a most satisfactory dad, by and large.
I put it down to the rigorous training you've given me.
This year, I'm going to reward you.
Oh, dear.
It will be the cheapest and easiest birthday treat you've ever given me.
Now I am alarmed.
Sir?
Yes.
The head barman says that the hotel doesn't keep an angel's kiss.
I don't expect the barman to keep it. I expect him to mix it. A liqueur glass. I imagine he keeps one of those. Then equal quantities of maraschino, cream, and creme de menthe. You might make a note of the recipe.
A note, sir?
A few words you jot down on a piece of paper. I shall probably want an angel kiss around this time. Yes, I would think so. As long as the weather lasts.
I understand the weather forecast is very poor. Here is the Babylon drinks menu, sir. Madam?
Infernal stuck-upness.
I thought he had a sort of something to him. Let's see if I can bring him back.
Nella, just what are you... Oh.
Hey, Jules.
Madam?
Never heard someone whistle before? You just put your lips together and you can figure out the rest. It's my birthday, and I would like a birthday meal.
Congratulations. The chef will, I am sure, rise to the occasion. Perhaps I could make some suggestions?
No, I know exactly what I want. Fillet of steak and a bottle of Bass beer.
Fillet of steak and a bottle of beer. Oh, Nella.
Yes, I'll have the same.
It's not on the menu, sir.
The chef will relish the challenge.
Perhaps not this particular challenge.
Persuade him otherwise. He's not eating it. We are. Be so good as to get it, if you please.
As you wish. I shall speak to the chef.
Nella, was it really necessary of you, in the Grand Babylon of all places, steak and bass?
You've always encouraged me to be independent, Father. And I shall be 24 tomorrow.
24? Well, that makes all the difference.
Sure. Have you really had time to go to the kitchen and come back?
The compliments of Monsieur Rocco. He will be unable to serve steak and bass tonight.
Monsieur Rocco is the chef?
Quite so.
By God, I've bought and sold congressmen in 15 states of the US of A, with change to spare.
Theodore Raxel versus Jules of the Grand Babylon Hotel.
I'm glad that you're enjoying this so much.
Not half as much as you. Father, where are you going?
I'm going to get us our dinner, Nella. I shall be a minute. Or two.
Sir, you can't come in here.
You're mistaken. I just did. I want to see Mr. Babylon. Now, I can see, Miss Spencer, words on the lines of, I am afraid that so-and-so forming in your mind clears clouds forming in the sky. But this is business. I am business. You are obviously above bribes and would disdain threats. I shan't insult you with either. Accept what must be. I shall see Mr. Babylon at once.
That just isn't possible, sir. Oh.
Raxel? Raxel of New York?
There is only one.
You wish to see me?
Mr. Felix Babylon?
I, too, am the only one. Does that make us unique? Can two people be unique? I am a humble Swiss hotelier. After all these years, the English language still holds some mysteries for me.
Mr. Babylon, I'm a not-so-humble railroad man. I am consumed with the desire to see you.
Bildeschön, how can I refuse?
A sublime room. A civilized room. Why, thank you.
The oldest brandy in Europe, and the only place you will find it in Europe, is in the cellars of the Grand Babylon Hotel. I would invite you to sit, but you look more comfortable pacing. Cigarettes. Turkish to the right, Virginia to the left. And some very acceptable Oyo de Monterrey cigars.
Ah.
Do you know cigars mature best in a room with a southeast aspect? So I have found. A big cigar, 18 months. A little one, only 6 months.
Well, here's to the southeast and the big fellas. I read in the New York papers some months ago that this hotel of yours, Mr. Babylon, was to be sold to a limited company, but it appears that the sale was not carried out.
There were problems. A greedy middleman. I was firm. They were obstinate. This is not the time for Mozart.
The agreed price was satisfactory?
No, perfectly.
Might I ask the price?
Are you a buyer, Mr. Raxel?
Are you a seller, Mr. Babylon?
£400,000.
And your average profits for the last 4 years?
£34,000 a year.
I have a pen. Do you have paper?
Hmm?
I thought we might exchange preliminary contract notes on the spot.
Are you sure you know what it is you intend to purchase, Mr. Raxel? A hotel is not like a railroad. And this hotel, it has a life of its own. You have been considering this move for some time?
I have been considering it for a total of 6 minutes.
6 minutes? So this is the American way. I think we both need more brandy.
A request.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I can absorb the principles of any business and make it work to better effect than my rivals. So, I should like you to teach me your business, Mr. Babylon, over the next day or so.
Day or so. Mr. Raxel, I never met anyone quite like you.
Oh, Theodore, please.
Felix. Perhaps, Theodore, we could begin to address some of the details over dinner?
It will have to be later, for I'm already engaged. But in that connection, will you do me a favor? Could you take me to meet Mr. Rocco?
Of course. And a request to you. I will sell the hotel to you for £400,000 and one guinea.
And one guinea. Yes, I agree, but why?
I merely wanted to be able to say, I haggled with Theodore Raxel.
Done, Felix.
What is he doing? Can we not just have a simple dinner together? Well, it's my own fault. Oh.
Miss Raxel.
It is him.
Why, Mr. Dimmock, I thought I saw you in the street earlier. You look quite pale. What's the matter?
Our acquaintance is very slight, and, gosh, I hesitate to take advantage.
Any acquaintance of Prince Arabert is a friend of mine. That summer was special. It's lovely to see you again, it really is. Join me for dinner with my father, that is, if either dinner or my father ever join us. Reginald, are you quite well?
The truth is, I don't know where to turn or who to turn to. To whom to turn? To whom? I do so need help. I'm sorry if I sound foolish. I know I sound rather foolish as a regular thing, but not to be helped. What? But this is different. I didn't mean harm. I should have listened to Nanny. As the sparks fly upward...
Sparks? Reginald, calm yourself. Begin at the beginning.
When does it happen, that first misstep? I've been so weak.
What is it?
But you know how fickle the season is, Miss Wraxall. All the people one was hoping to avoid by going to the Cap turn out to have had exactly the same idea as you. Yes, Prince Aribert is in top form. But it's so ineffably splendid to see you doing Europe again. You'll be coming across the Channel soon, I hope.
What's happened to him?
Mr. Dimmock, your table is ready, sir.
Mr. Dimmock, you might want to join us.
But your meal, madam, is ready.
Oh.
Two fillet steaks, two bottles of Bass, as you ordered.
But my father...
You speak, he comes. Mr. Dimmock, I worry about your hors d'oeuvre departing from its correct temperature.
You could have your hors d'oeuvre sent over.
Our
steaks. That was prompt. You don't know what you can do until you try, eh, Jules?
Gosh, I think Jules has got a point, you know. Mr. Wraxall, Reginald Dimmock, equerry to the Royal House of Posen. Known Ella from way back when, what? Last summer in Paris.
Oh, that long. A pleasure, sir. Join us.
I must go.
But we'll sure to catch up. You're here for a few days.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. A bientôt and so forth.
Your dinner, Nella. Nella, this is what you wanted.
Oh, yes.
Nella, stop staring and eat your steak. What's so special about him, eh? Ah, I mentioned Paris. You maybe, had an understanding with him. I'm so clumsy.
Father, please.
Damn it.
I don't know what sort of woman would have an understanding with Reginald Dimmock, but you must see it wouldn't be me. Reginald is a harmless hanger-on and go-between of European royalty. He runs errands for Prince Aribert of Posen. I told you about him and his nephew, the Grand Duke Eugen, brain the size of a pigeon. Reginald, I mean. But fun. Tonight, he looked frightened.
Do try your steak.
It looks very good. You didn't have to bully anyone to get it, I hope.
Me? Bully? No, no, no. Your friend, Mr. Dimmock. I think you may be being a little overdramatic. But yes, he did seem... intimidated by Jules. Pass the mustard, would you? Thank you. I can't help thinking the master-servant relationship, however token its status in this democratic age, should be the right way round. Jules needs to understand this. And I think I'm just the man to tell him. Diplomatically, of course.
That was perfect. Thank you, Papa.
Good. You still look bothered.
What did he mean? As the sparks fly upwards.
As the sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble. I'm surprised at you, Nella. You've exchanged Baedeker for the Book of Job.
Something Mr. Dimmock said.
Get some sleep. Good night, Nella.
But you're not going to your suite.
No.
Where are you going?
I have a new trade to learn. Did I not say? To buy you dinner, it was necessary for me to buy this whole hotel.
Oh.
Good. I like it when I can leave you lost for words. Sleep well.
Mr. Dimmock, I do not know. But Prince Aribert, of course. I have met him. I've met them all. The Emperor of Austria himself.
You don't sound overjoyed by the experience.
The princes, the noblemen, the men who move the world, bring with them their schemes and their hangers-on and their feuds. I prefer to remain to one side of it all. Now, did you ever wonder how your crisply laundered bed came about? Pray, push open that door.
The initial immersion of linen. Egyptian cotton for the sheets, it goes without saying. There are three boiling baths, but soon we will add a fourth. Excuse me, Theodore, soon you will add a fourth. The drying racks, and then, of course, the ironing. Every 12 hours, every square foot of linen in this hotel is resurrected. Redivivus! 40,000 serviettes, 24,000 tablecloths, 5,750 sheets. But it probably comes as no surprise to you.
Oh, I'd assume something of this nature.
Never has a bed looked more inviting.
Oh, it even smells inviting. Egyptian cotton. Such luxury. They really know how to do things right over here. Ah, what a day. And all by inviting fate into our lives. Clever old Papa.
The heart of the hotel! Behold! Over there, the artesian well. Yes, the Babylon has its own supply of water. Mr. Ickering here can tell you about the pumping system. He has all the figures to hand. I think you'll find them of considerable interest.
I don't doubt it for a moment. But he looks very busy, Mr. Ickering. I'll come back.
What the? The new semi-diesel. They're testing it.
It's as big as a steam train.
Ah, we have 21 electric lifts to power, Theodore. It's quite a list. Our electrical requirements.
Ah, what's down that passage?
Down there? Follow me.
That's the size of the gate to my place in the Hamptons. What are you keeping there, Felix? The crown jewels?
That is exactly what we keep in there. Yours to unlock.
Thank you. Now.
Come in. Quickly.
You've arranged the business of the suite.
Oh, yes. Although I'd like to seat her myself, stuck-up little so-and-so. Why are you looking like that?
Nothing.
Come here. Oh.
The telegram from Ostend?
The noble lord. It's done. He's in the cellar, drugged in the way that I specified. No injuries, no witnesses.
Well, there is one witness of a sort.
But we have him here, and I know how to keep him in order.
And I myself would look more in order with my shirt buttoned. And while, my tigress, am I not worth waiting for? And now, let us go about our work.
Aha!
Welcome to the vineyards of the world. The sub-basement of the Babylon. It stretches the full width of the hotel and extends towards the Thames. This is just one of the five cellars.
Just wine? I can hardly see to the end.
Wines from four continents. Constantia from Cape Colony. They said it would never sell, but I proved them wrong.
All was a satisfying feeling. Burgundy, Medoc, Bordeaux, Sauterne. Even a man untutored in wine like myself knows those.
The 60s. The 63. Oh, now that was a vintage. The 70s.
What is it, Felix?
My own life unrolls with these dates. Everything I've done laid out on these racks. Year by vintage year. But what is it that I've done? 30 years I've spent in London, and the only friends I have are the friends of my boyhood in Lausanne.
I am not so different from you.
But you have raised a daughter, something of flesh and blood. Well, I have grown old, refitting kitchens, worrying over temperamental staff, soothing temperamental customers.
You've built a legend, Felix. This hotel is one of the great achievements of our new century. And what's that behind the glass door?
The rarest of the rare wines.
The best champagne?
A quite extraordinary sillery, yes. But do not mistake the finest champagne for the finest of wines. The Romane Conti, the 1880 vintage, might claim that title. These bottles are reserve for the royal apartments. The emperor will drink no other.
Where the Grand Duke Eugen of Posen is due to stay. Yes, I'm trying to keep up to date with the guests.
Not guests. Customers, Theodore. But good, good, good. Now, to my mind, the greatest of all wines is that Burgundy. Those crates covered in dust. The consignment cost me £80 a bottle. To sell it now? It's too expensive even for princes. It will stay here, undrunk.
I don't think so, Felix. In fact, let me make a note of it now. They're due to uncork a bottle tomorrow.
Well, I don't follow you.
We'll be drinking it with our lunch.
What?
Who's there?
A trick of acoustics. The sound comes from the street above us, from outside. You see that glimmer of light? A ventilation grill.
A grill? I see. Is it safe? Look, there's dust on the floor. Where something's coming loose.
Now you're becoming a true hotelier, Theodore. Worrying yourself into a vapor about every detail. Come, I have more, much more to show you. Come.
Ineffably splendid to see you.
Brain the size of a pigeon's.
The hotel doesn't keep an angel's kiss.
If there is anything I can do to make your stay more pleasant.
What? Oh, a stupid dream. Glass of water. Then sleep. Proper sleep. Sleeping draft in the bathroom. No. Better still. 2 minutes of Baedeker. Let's see. The Antiquities of Britain. The Home Counties. That should do the trick. Oh, it's too warm. A beautiful night. What's that down there? Like someone. No, nothing. I'm just seeing a bear where there's a bush. Bush and bear. What?
I like Felix very much, but his enthusiasm for every single thing, for meat purchasing at Smithfield, damned if I'm getting up that early. I'm having to make notes to keep up with this place. First time I've had to do that. Item, getting old. Item, Jules. What in the name of everything infernal is Jules doing down the corridor, round the corner? God damn! He's going into suite 111. Nella's suite.
Jules, explain yourself.
Mr. Raxall, sir, I congratulate you on the acquisition of the Grand Babylon Hotel.
Be damned to that! What the deuce are you doing in my daughter's room?
You are mistaken. This room is occupied by a gentleman.
It is a serious error of judgment to contradict me, my friend. What business have you here?
I was summoned here, sir, by...
My dear Mr. Raxall, this is an unexpected... A pleasure.
Mr. Dimmock! You have just walked into this drawing room from my daughter's bedroom. I think you owe me an explanation.
Just listen to me for a moment, please.
Step aside, sir! What has happened here? Where is Nella?
Just listen to me for a moment, if you would be so kind.
I think Mr. Dimmock can explain.
You come it too high, Jules. You really do.
Yes, I think I can explain. I'm happy to explain. I was passing along this corridor a few moments ago when I found Miss Raxall in a difficulty with the hotel servants. Miss Raxall had retired to rest when a large stone, which must have been thrown from the embankment, broke the window, as you see.
A stone? But who would...
Yeah, but apart from the discomfort of the broken window, she did not care to remain in the suite. The servant said...
The servants said...
There was no other comparable suite, but I offered to exchange suites with her. She did me the courtesy...
She did in the courtesy to accept
his offer. To accept my offer. Our respective belongings were moved, and that is all. I should like to drink a glass of water, please.
There's something not right here. I'm being practiced upon.
Here you are, sir. Drink your water now. The stone, sir. A passing anarchist we live in century times. Your daughter is, as we speak, in Mr. Dimmock's former suite. And, of course, if you have any further concern, you may look in on her. Though the young lady did seem anxious for sleep.
Thank you for your advice, Jules. You and I, we shall speak tomorrow about our respective roles in this hotel.
There you are. Theodore, you look...
Trouble sleeping.
things on my mind. I rose early and have been wandering the hotel like a ghost. The kitchens are a wonder to behold. The potato paring machine, the patent plate dryer, the interconnected stockpots. The man who does nothing but fold napkins.
Ah, he's the most skilled in London.
I'm sure he is. I mean, all that practice. What's bothering you, Felix?
Something altogether out of the ordinary. Miss Spencer, the head of the bureau, she's vanished. Normally she's at her post by 7:30, but today, not a sign of her. A room empty. I hope you don't think I'm interfering, Theodore.
I welcome every help you can give me. But who is running the bureau now?
Grand Babylon Hotel. Yes, madam.
Nella?
Shh! Room 613. I have made a note of it. Thank you, madam. I'm trying to help you, father.
What?
An assistant in the bureau, Miss Ferguson, has been giving me tips.
One of the greatest American heiresses? A hotel clerk?
I think I'm making quite a hand of it. What news of Miss Spencer?
Well, I'm told every trace of her clothing, her possessions, her boxes in storage, gone.
She lodged at the hotel.
It is the normal way.
Well, now.
What is it, Nella?
Something you said earlier, Father. It will come back to me.
Nella, you can't take up this position full time. Felix, what can I say? Reason with my daughter for me. If only you hadn't asked for steak.
Miss Rex.
Of course, Miss Ferguson. I shall be with you in a second.
Right.
It was you who handed things over to fate, Father.
Miss Raxall, we have a titled customer. It is normal for you to greet the titled customer.
Miss Raxall, the gentleman behind you, to whom, to be precise, you have just turned your back?
Sir?
Count Steenbock.
Yes, of course, Count Steenbock. I have your reservation. Perkins will take your bags. The key is to hand. Except you're not Count Steenbock. What are you doing here?
You... behind the bureau counter. Say nothing if you value my safety.
Why, certainly, Count. I shall check that the arrangements you asked for are in place. Miss Ferguson, take charge.
Certainly, Miss Raxall.
I could hardly believe it when I saw you.
My father bought the hotel. It's the sort of thing he does. I'm helping him out. Prince Arabert, why are you traveling incognito?
Not my name, please. Not until we are inside.
The royal apartments. You are in danger.
It is possible. I shall let in the light.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Too small a word.
Perkins, take the bags through to...
The royal bedroom, the second royal bedroom.
But this is a palace. This room...
Merely the anteroom. Now, this way.
The yellow room. Do you have a room for every color of the spectrum? Arabert, is there something wrong?
No, no. It is the pleasure of seeing a friend again.
And are you the same friend I knew in Paris last year? Something has changed in you.
Last year you enjoyed above all the ritual of tea. I remember it well. Nella, may I offer you tea?
That would be nice. I'll ring for it.
No, stop. No bells, no servants. I will make it for you. The royal apartments have their own kitchen. I prevailed upon a Maharaja from Hyderabad, visiting the Emperor's court, to share his technique with me. The tea leaves lie ready. Now, boiling water in the pot, swish it around, empty it out.
You're serious about this. Such a quaint hotel, wasn't it? And when I bumped into you in the Museum of the Trocadero that rainy afternoon, that painting...
Caspar Friedrich, the man standing on the mountaintop at dawn.
The mist like a sea around his feet. I should give that a stir.
Ah.
What brought you to the Babylon?
The Grand Duke Eugen.
Your nephew?
Yes, he disappeared 3 days ago. I was to have met him at Ostend. He had, he said, urgent business in London and wanted me with him. I waited for him, but he did not arrive. I learned that he had left Cologne in accordance with his itinerary and passed through Brussels. His equerry was to have made a separate rendezvous with me, but he too failed to keep it. Mr. Dimmock, I think you met him.
But Mr. Dimmock is here at the hotel.
A Dimmock? Here? I must speak with
him. Well, I'm sure that can be arranged. Dimmock? Eugen? Arabert? The stone through the window. How do they connect? Pour me my tea, Arabert.
It's as though Miss Spencer has erased every trace of herself from the room.
There is something altogether efficient and planned about it. I feel as I do when a business rival makes a move against me, but now I cannot tell the nature of the move.
Don't be so restless, Arabert. Mr. Dimmock is an Englishman, and being an Englishman, he would never miss breakfast. If you don't want your bacon, you can give it to me.
Miss Raxall,
there. It's only bacon. You look as though I've upset the balance of European diplomacy. Remind me, how does it work, you being the uncle of Grand Duke Eugen, but you're younger than him?
The late Grand Duke's father was twice married, hence my youthfulness as an uncle. I have to explain this so many times, it makes me...
Tetchy, I can see that. Try and eat something, the mushrooms are good.
Nella, he's here. Oh, he looks... Is he drunk?
Nella, Prince Arabert?
Reginald, what's happened to you?
They've been pushing me. Very unfair. I just wanted... I'm not strong. I wish I was strong. Sharp. Needle in my arm. A demon. She's a demon. Here's what to say. Got to say my lines. Go to sleep, Dimmock. Sleep. No, wouldn't do it. Oh, gosh! Oh, my head! Oh, all snow and hail.
Sit down, Reginald. Let me help you. His heart is racing.
He's been drugged.
It's very important. The Grand Duke, you see. The danger. Morgan, help. Must help.
What danger? Who's Morgan?
Too late. But if I can see him.
See the Grand Duke? I don't understand.
See the man. Oh, I'm burning up inside. Burning.
Tell us how to help.
There was a street with a bird in it. They talked about it. Thought I couldn't hear, and I have to see the man. Have to. That bacon, those eggs, they look pretty tremendous. May I join you? I'm feeling a lot better, you know. Blade on the feather.
Help me! Help this man!
Is that you holding me, Nella? I don't seem to be able to see properly.
It's all right. I've got you, Reginald. I've got you.
Oh, gosh, you're a lovely girl, Nella. Not that I could ever say that to your face. I think what I might do... I'm feeling rather sleepy.
I shall find a doctor.
There's no point. His heart stopped. He's dead.
My poor Dimmock, and to think I was angry with him because he failed to meet me.
I've put about the story that a man suffered a collapse but is recovering. What do you think, Felix?
It's quite right. It's best that guests do not die at the Grand Babylon.
Oh, that would never do. What was he trying to tell us? He looks so determined, even now. Not at peace at all. Fist clenched.
You know, this is murder.
No, that word... Please.
There is no other word.
I held him in my arms as he died. I should be shaken, upset. But what I most feel is burning need for the truth. What hold did Jewel have over Dimmock? And how is that connected with Miss Spencer's disappearance? And how is Prince Arabert involved? I will unravel this. Perhaps there is a way to track down Miss Spencer. Arabert... Will you help me?
At your service.
You're infernally calm, Felix. I'm so restless I can't even smoke.
Well, there's little we can do until the police arrive.
What a thing to happen.
You will get used to such events.
I doubt that. What are you doing? Felix!
I am paying respect. I am closing the late Mr. Dimmock's eyelids. Huh.
What is it?
Something clutched in the unfortunate man's fist... I think he was trying to give it to your daughter and the prince.
A business card. Mr. Samson Levi of Throgmorton Lane.
You look mesmerized by those ledgers, Nella.
Yes. You see, what Father said was that everything went through the bureau. And Miss Spencer lodged here. This was her home. And how else would she leave her home and take all her possessions than by the Babylon's luggage service?
And would she not use the resources of her own bureau to arrange her travel?
I cannot fault your logic. But then again, if she has taken such trouble to erase herself, she is not going to leave an obvious trail behind her.
Agreed. I want you to help me compare these ledgers, which record the location and duration of stay of every guest in the hotel, with those ledgers, which record every journey booked through the bureau.
And what are we looking for?
An anomaly, Prince. Think about it.
Like a name that appears on one list but not on the other. That would be a name worth investigating.
I took 10 minutes to think that through. How come you got there so fast?
The way you framed the problem made the solution easy. But if Miss Spencer made her abrupt departure this morning, then surely the idea fails. I'm sure you have an answer.
You introduced an assumption, Arabert. You spoke of her abrupt departure. But supposing it wasn't? Supposing it was a planned one. Then the bulk of her luggage may have left earlier on one of the busier days, at a time when no one would notice.
You have an admirably logical mind, Nella. Not to mention, which is even more admirable, a devious one.
It's a Raxo family trait.
Any luck?
Nothing at all. My brilliant idea seems to have come to nothing. You?
Well?
Don't tease me.
One name stands out. Baroness Zerlinski. A dispatch of baggage 2 weeks ago. And she took a four-wheeler at 6 o'clock this morning.
And there's no record of her staying at the hotel.
Oh, there's a record. That's not the point. It's that name, Zerlinski.
You've heard of it?
No. I've never heard of it in my life. That's the point. I'm pleased. I've managed to surprise you. Have you a copy of the Almanach de Gotha in the bureau? I'm sure you must have.
If I knew what the Almanach de Gotha was, I'd be better placed to tell you.
It is inconceivable that the Babylon would be without such a work. Let me look. Here it is, with Bradshaw. The Almanach is a complete record of all the royalty of Europe, past and present, extant and extinct, from the emperor himself to the lowliest baron. But of Zerlinski, as I thought, there is no mention. The name is made up.
Is there anything else in the ledger?
She was traveling to Dover. Her baggage was labelled Ostend and dispatched by one Thomas Jackson.
Thomas Jackson. Not a name that appears on the hotel's list of employees. Four-wheeler at 6 o'clock. There's a chance, then. Just an outside chance.
Nella!
Dear Papa, I have gone on the trail of Miss Spencer. If I'm not back in 3 days, inquire for me at Ostend. Nella, P.S. I borrowed one of your revolvers. And what's this? P.P.S. Why did Miss Spencer not want us in those suites? In particular, suite 111. Why? What is the girl thinking of?
She was not to be reasoned with, Mr. Raxel.
I can believe that all too readily.
Edo, the police have asked the hotel to leave Mr. Dimmock where he is so that a forensic examination can be carried out in situ before the body is removed. Prince Aribert, you will soon have the royal suite to yourself again. Theodore.
Oh, yes, I apologize for the inconvenience.
The inconvenience is nothing. Dimmock dead, the Grand Duke disappeared, and Nella...
Oh, what sort of a wild and perhaps dangerous goose chase has she gone on? 111. No interruptions. Item... One carpet, oriental. Underneath, plain floorboards. Item, the bath. The paneled casing thereof. Nothing. No hidden chambers. Item, getting old.
Ostend. No companions? No luggage, and no plan of campaign. A strange foreign port. What am I doing? There she is. A closed carriage for Miss Spencer. Now hurry, got to get a cab.
Yep, it's he, monsieur!
Oh,
Oh, what are the words? Follow that.
Suivez ce carriage là!
Well, I've done it now.
Item. Bedroom. Item. Drawers. Ah, Nella's Baedeker. Otherwise, nothing. Item. Wardrobe. Is it really necessary for Nella to travel with so many shoes? Item. Don't pick a quarrel with Nella on this subject. Damnation. Item. One panel, back of wardrobe. Secret. A hole, descending downwards, with a rope ladder hanging down it. Let's see. Item. Must take more exercise. But what's this? Nearly knocked it over. Feels like curved metal? A trumpet? Surely not. Light. Thank God. A spy hole. This is Araber's royal suite. Suite 111 leads down here. And who is this? Jules. What is he doing? There must be a way out. A catch? A handle? What's my plan? Too late. No plan.
Jules.
Mr. Raxo.
Oh, don't move. This gun is cocked.
You have the advantage of me, sir.
What are you doing to Dimmock's body?
I was searching it. I think someone may have been here before me.
Damn your impudence! Did you kill Dimmock?
No. I am much more subtle than that.
What is your scheme, Jules? What links you and Dimmock and Prince Arabert and the Grand Duke?
What makes you believe there is a link?
You use Suite 111 to spy on royalty.
Is that a rhetorical question, sir? May I submit a non-rhetorical one? Aren't you going to send for the police?
Oh, is that all you can say for yourself?
Let's see. One, I can't justify myself to you. Two, I can't reason you into joining forces with me. Three, I can't bribe you into letting me go. Certainly not that. And four, I feel disinclined to stand here and satisfy your curiosity. You've outmaneuvered me. And that is the end of the matter. There's no shame in knowing when one is beaten. May we go now. I shall put up no resistance. Of that I do assure you.
Well, Jules, grace in the face of adversity. I admire that in a man. But my admiration doesn't change the fact that my gun is still pointing at you.
Perhaps if you were to hold the weapon under your coat, sir. Such a thing may pass unremarked in the hotels of New York, but one wouldn't want to create a disturbance in the Grand Babylon.
Thank you, Jules.
A favour, sir?
What?
Rather than use the stairs, perhaps you could take me down in the service lift, a bit more discreet. You might find it hard to believe, but I seem to have developed a quaint sense of, well, shame.
The service lift it is, then.
I'm grateful for your forbearance.
The lift door seems to be locked.
I have a key, sir. I always carry one. After you, sir.
Yeah. God damn it!
Sheer force of habit was your undoing, Mr. Raxall. Oh, you'll be found in a few hours, no doubt. May I recommend grace in the face of adversity?
We've lost her. Where has she gone? Think. She can't have gone far. Three streets, which one did she choose? Hofstraat, Langestraat, Vogelstraat. Vogelstraat. Wait, Dimmock was here. The prince told me so. What did Dimmock say when he was dying? The street with the bird in it. Street with a bird. Vogel. Got it. Here it is. Vogelstraat. This way. A light has just gone on in the house. That has to be the one. Well done, Reginald Dimmock. Only one thing for it.
You!
Miss
Spencer? Or are you the Baroness Zelinsky tonight? Inside.
Do you really know how to use that weapon?
I'm a Yankee girl, and in my country, even if they don't teach shooting in boarding schools, there are plenty of us who can handle a revolver. Why did you disappear from the Grand Babylon this morning?
Let's hope she doesn't realize I'm not as tough as I sound.
I had orders too, Miss Raxall.
Whose orders?
The man I live with, Thomas Jackson. You know him as Jules.
Thomas Jackson? The name in the hotel register.
Why did he want you to leave?
I don't know. I swear I don't know. I do what he tells me. He's one of those men. So would you.
That I doubt.
I think I'm rather good at this. The woman's nearly in tears.
The stone through the window. Why was it so important that I should not be in suite 111 last night?
Thomas tells me what to do and I arrange it.
Did you and Thomas Jackson arrange the death of Mr. Dimmock? Miss Spencer, I am becoming impatient. You're the person who needs to explain herself and I'm the one with a gun pointed at you.
A gun that is getting heavier and heavier by the second.
Oh, you have the whip hand. But everything is more complicated than you suppose.
Simplify it, then. Why did the Grand Duke fail to arrive at his destination? Where is he now? Do you have him prisoner? Is he here?
She knows the answers. I can see it in her face. Now, I must press my advantage.
Tell me!
If only I could!
What is Thomas Jackson's scheme? I will stop at nothing, Miss Spencer, to have the truth.
How strange. I was acting before, but now I could. I could kill her. Horrible.
Tom did say... Oh, no. Oh, God, don't ask me. It's death.
She's fainted. A trick? No. Blood on her temple.
Miss Spencer? Are you...
You silly girl. I bit my lip and smeared the blood onto me. Can you hear me, Miss Raxall? This is what's happened. I've just hit you on the side of your gullible head with the butt of the revolver you know how to handle so well. You're lying on the floor. Don't try and move for a while.
I'm not finished yet. Just... listen to me.
A blow to the head isn't tidy, like the penny dreadfuls. The trauma to the brain may make you vomit. I started life as a nurse. Try not to choke.
My father, a millionaire. Rich, richest man in the world. He will pay anything if you let me go free.
Did you have a sum in mind?
What? What are you doing to me?
Oh, sorry. I should have said. I'm rolling up the sleeve of your dress. I'm going to give you an injection.
$20,000.
Really? The needle goes into the underside of your upper arm. The mark won't be noticed.
$100,000.
I'm telling you what I'm doing, not inviting you to take part in an auction. As to the effect of the drug, well, you'll find that out for yourself.
$1,000,000. Please.
Cold and tickly, isn't it? That's the ether on your skin. Tickly-wickly. Cleaning away the germs. No. It's good to do these things just right.
No. God. No. Get it away from me. $5,000,000.
Did nobody ever tell you? Money isn't everything, Miss Raxall. Here comes the needle. Good night.
The Grand Babylon Hotel was adapted for radio by Chris Harold. Theodore Raxall was played by John Sessions. Nella Raxall, Matty Houghton. Ari Bear, Joe Klosker. Jewel, Richard Katz. Miss Spencer, Fenella Woolger. Felix Babylon, Stephen Grafe. Reginald Dimmock, Gunnar Cawthrey. Miss Ferguson, Jill Cardo. And the servant was played by Inam Mirza. The producer was Stephen Canny. And you can hear the second and concluding episode at the same time tomorrow.
We have such a strange attitude to food.
The award-winning comedian Andrew Maxwell confronts threats to society.
I was out one night with a mate of mine from back home in Dublin called Brian. At about 2 in the morning, he was telling me that he had to get up early because he was going pigeon hunting.
In a new series of stand-up shows.
Did you know that country pigeons go on day trips to the city?
Andrew Maxwell's Public Enemies.
Because most of the day you have to sit there and watch the flight patterns. Because you only want to be eating a country pigeon on the way into town.
Hear it first in BBC Radio 4 Extras Comedy Club on Monday night at 10:30.
Inspiration.
I had this dream about heads on wheels.
Hard work.
He's the ace. He's amazing. And that's how it all started. Messing around on a mandolin in the flat here in Manchester.
And creative ways to save money.
All you see on screen is kind of three eyes blinking in the darkness. And that's radically inexpensive.
Remembering the studio that was home to Danger Mouse, Count Duckula and Chorlton and the Wheelies.
It was weird, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's why I liked it, I suppose.
Crikey DM, David Jason's tribute to Cosgrove Hall. This Saturday morning at 10:30 over on BBC Radio 4.
Time for me to hand you over to Mel now. I'll be back at 5 with comedy, including Ring Around the Bath, about a woman who wishes her children would just move out of the house. Well, they are adults, after all.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's 4 o'clock show with me, Mel Gedroych. Today, in our great story, which is Bruce Coville's My Teacher is an Alien, Susan's got to come up with a plan, or she'll end up a human specimen in an alien spacecraft.
We opened the door and headed into the alien's lair. We made it out of the cellar and into the attic with time to spare. Nothing had changed. The column of blue light was still there, and poor Miss Schwartz was still trapped in the middle of it.
Oh, they are brave, aren't they? But will Susan and Peter get caught by the aliens? Will they end up floating around in outer space? Stay tuned to find out. And it's the Great Martian Bake Off. What will the astronauts eat when they travel to Mars?
Kung Fu chicken. It's a pre-prepared meal with chicken. It has a flat taste and the texture is almost slimy. It's really absolutely not very, very tasty.
Oh, that sounded grim. And we meet Edinburgh Zoo's famous penguins. For now, buckle up, because we've got a magical mystery tour to begin. Now, remember, I know where we're going. I drop clues through the show, and can you guess where we're going before we get there? Well, let's find out. Today we're off to a city in England, and this city has just opened an amazing new library. Where are we going? More clues to come. All this week on the 4 o'clock show, we've been celebrating Edinburgh Zoo's 100th anniversary with a series of special reports meeting some of the zoo's amazing animals. Before the giant pandas came to Edinburgh Zoo, the zoo was particularly famous for its penguin colony. It's been associated with these incredible birds since 1913, after a whaling expedition gave them three king penguins, the first penguins, actually, to be seen anywhere outside of the South Atlantic. This year, the zoo created a brand new enclosure for the birds, and that's where my daughter Floss and I, along with Edinburgh Zoo's Erica Alton, met the penguins. Is this one of the biggest penguin enclosures? It looks massive.
I think it's possibly still Europe's biggest penguin enclosure. It certainly was when it was first built.
Oh, look, oh, look. They're all in formation like synchronized swimmers, doing little jumps in the water.
This is called porpoising when they do it. And they all join in together. And it's a really efficient way to swim. So you'll see they're coming out the water and diving down. And
does that mean they're happy, Erica, when they do that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Do you know when they do it as well? When it's really torrential rain, they will all run into the pool and start porpoising. They love it, absolutely love it.
And there are all sorts of different coloured penguins. There's one that's coming towards us.
This is a Gentoo penguin.
Oh, that's a Gentoo, is it? With the white markings above the eyes.
That's right, yep. And all these ones in the pool, these are Gentoo penguins as well.
And there are some darker ones as well. Which kind are they?
Well, these are all gentoo penguins, but they're going through their annual molt just now, which means their old feathers are coming out and the nice new ones are coming through. So, in fact, we've got two coming up to us here. The one on the left is brown and it's not molted yet. Right. But if you look at the one on the right, it's that kind of grey-blue colour. That one's molted.
Oh, that means it's molted.
So he's, I mean, that...
Oh, they're coming near us. They're coming. They're doing the classic penguin walk.
They're very inquisitive. So... What, I mean, we're in a little VIP area just now,
right?
But what we can do is open up this door and see if anyone wants to come in.
Are you serious? Are we allowed to go in with them?
We can, yeah. As long as we stay in this wee bit and they come to us, then that's fine. We can try a little bit of bubble enrichment, see if anyone likes the bubbles too.
Bubble enrichment? What on earth is that, Erica?
What we do is we blow bubbles to the penguins sometimes. Not all the time, but just sometimes. And they seem to quite like it. They quite like catching them. And they're just quite inquisitive animals. So when it snows as well, go and catch all the snowflakes. Here they come.
They're coming.
Oh, so you can see this one's mid-molt. See how some of its feathers are just coming
off? Yes, and the one behind, the grey, very smooth-looking one, is the one that's molted. Do you know what I'm loving? Very fleshy feet. Yes. There's a lot of flesh on there, isn't there? And very neat nails. They look like they've had little manicures.
They look like banana feet, because you know when you know you put your shoe on and it's the wrong
shoe.
Foot.
Yes! It looks like they've got the wrong shoes on.
Yeah. And there's another different species over there.
Oh, there's a rockhopper. Now, the rockhopper has got an extraordinary... The hairdo is very much like Lamal, actually, from the early 80s.